Janama Journey. Ye Grashvorgus Ulivianite, Hashin Tosht Buyakus Gutin, Aichele, Shonanurum, a ha akinya shaw, a vikrain kondri hele. I guess Hashin Anyahu ye Grashvorg will shinichin fatig courage, the nere, Bukhorgin, if he achin of Irien, a ganyonchen ha Ivenus, I guess Garshikus, Akinath Kria, Kuvilujonahuvi. The case of Grinje, Arnurnian, the Arnurnian Trich Kofound, the Schobak, a Ganyan Shun, Hatlach Gakin Rivi, a Gurney Rut, Shach Guver Fus Akinje, Guver Fersuri Akinje, Guver Fer Aun, a Hatien, a Tien of Drochit, Chetter Shinhein, Agus Faraveluhein, Agus Nachmashen, Enoch Gunoiche Ille, Ye Grashvar, Guver Fersuri Akinje, a Hapio. Agus hasin an och a kainach ag an yain a vis a tianav an urwyd a hasin hen a tianav ach ha iatsan a kainach ag gytiavar fo chunasht agus gynnysgaif kat yn piat a kainach ag no na dyni a vis bwaltiach gyfi drogal agus a torst yun si ara agus hasin a kainach ag iatsan a hafo gyr lenavain er fagin tuig hasin mochul gyfel Imitig ferigus che an och gaha a kanyachig gutiavar. Hashin a corny compiu can cargan art, compiat dan, egis compiat mochel urnian, fo koyanil ille, figantuj, mara hashin hain, a kanyachig at brarens at perichen, aha anan kunosh, der son, tokal suas brachtach in tierne. Hashin a corny, nid a hashin a chain fashk go. Aum na nolaik nu de vishin a kohrech a gyn prion ille nu de hannik ias is jachan thul y gynpi ar sulin agus gynpi ar vieshin agus ar frörk edhym thia vöva de hannik agus ar son gynpi piachgian mara hasin hen ir ar suri agus hasin taink al olivianit ya gynt anik e hasin taink al olivianit ya gynt o cholane an opar hu hukuga ga chun alitrach agus chunwail sivae Nu de chaie go Calvary, ir ar sonje. Agus a sin taing go lelevianet, ja gynt yr einie chwys, eith bas agus ir an abit, agus gynt y yedichae, ir an tres la. Agus a sin a gwrni an och gwbi y hwlyd yn y mochel, gynt anig cthias, der son piachgian. A sin a gwrni lelevianet, ir son union ec na chael cthias dy haast, gwnt biad mochel gynt anigae. Agus gwyl sŵrse di ein tro na rhain crias. Dyr son o hwlyd dynia. Chyn i'n lecyd ifar. Dwi eich o dwys eich o dorach sa hasi'n smyn eich o gwyl sy'n. Gwyl crias, gwyl ffwl y tiarna. Cwmysach ger y hwlyd dŵ agus a hule sáwachas a gwanig agus a dianaf chokialtri siach agus a sin a gwrni gwmpita spirit a glwasit tra'r cairsnach gynst na'r skýrins ar baltyn ag an amsio tron y vliana. Ha sin a cainach a gydiaen a vis a falach yn stoch a brónach ag an amsio. Iat sin a vis a smynach a gydash ar laian snoc agus tlachgfor y fachgan ar yfa tiolach stoch conl ar ua agus han a bail tiol sin an eist iddo golgach i conl ar ua tein agus ha sit y fach ar biarn as an tiolach agus biarn as a dachy. Ach nach macu fel yw awn, ysio'n efi lianig na'n biarn yn sy'n, agos ha sy'n ogwrn i gwmpio chi'n ffas gore, y fys y ffalach gen yn yr ynach, gyda stoch y tŵrsach ac yn awm sio, gwmpiad mochol eich dyladach, gwmpiad mochol eich dychonsdach, agos gwmpiad mochol gyfer creas dy con yr unie, awsgach ati, awsgach awm. Sy'n cael eich yn drawm a ha in an lekker schiers ri hev chinisen is galaren is bochgen is gebetje scho stulit is in hachke gumpio hen ich in faschgore gumpiat mochel kütjach gewelwaun kolerua is kütjach schon keine gegen ja hak ekuntrin iats in haide golgachi iats in hakai hat den koni maladin is hashin gan keine gegen naum scho gesoritje gumpi iats in smyrnig ich er cho cho mischtiger sa hakushen nu de hakthias de akenje mar achger arnana ich es gut beschit de tosch solus ich es sache de geiv das no lion dulich ich es didev hasch no keinig gar neugri hasch no keinig iatsen hasch no fenchkin je hulle matin lone sapet hasch in tanker gewill immer Balach is dien akenje, e frihalug ar skol sapet, jegis a sin a gurni kupia, kumpio kone ruas in kutiach, jegis doch a sin a hia duer in bliana, kumpia te e kointin mu chrias, jegis kersone hanike, jegis kumpia te tosht buajare, kushiari, kumpia te idiest, dan, jegis kumpia te later, rachkige chrias, de da hat de fas nes shinje. Als je een koning in Estje kunt, je maler in je is een tokkelig zo, je uren me houden karierig. En wie kan er die gele, er zo'n tokkelig lintje, er is er zo'n tenen me waldig. Als je een koning kunt, je kunt vader vallen voor je, hulle kalle, de gutige wie tien is tjachhorn, er is het jenef knap het starre, et erin je is tokkelig, is het tjachgedag gehakken, er is zo'n je nachke. Als je een koning kunt, je gardienig, le, jolde, er is tiksje, er is. Tlach agus mishnach agus hasin taingu gyfer minister akin ya hacho John ach avi dianif sin gudurach gach avi torsh dochgl gynye anna doi hacho sylir anna doi hacho simpli ach anna doi kutiak hacho tūlan ach gyn agus hasin tiach a gulia livianit y gupi na fachglan ha ir ar bial o dynoch gytien biol Igus gwmpiad etianif bwaiorn mar coianol, igus bwaiorn mar gwynie. Os yna gwrni ma ha gwmpiw maig ar piach gyn, igus os yna gwrni gwmpiw dol hosioch gorn yn eisiau, os yna taen gael gariruf, os yna hwyl y cael y haw etianif ar sonia, igus gyda halai yn dydyf ac yn ye, os yna taen gael gyfer criost ac yn ye, igus os yna y rwyt o hapw na bw cwtrym eich bwle. Gwmpiw maledd yn eisiau ma ha, sgach riost amen.
We sing again to God's praise, and we sing from hymn number 179. The words are on the screen. See in yonder manger low.
Happy.
If you could open your Bibles now, please, in Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. And before we read that, boys and girls, there's a few of you here. Henry's here, Andrew's here, and a few of the girls are here as well. So I'm going to read for you a couple of verses from James chapter 1, and I want you to think about this. So this is James, and he's writing, or God's writing through James, and he writes this about the Bible. He compares the Bible to a mirror, and he says, "Don't merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." It's a bit daft, isn't it? Put up your hand if you ever look in the mirror. Yeah? Why do you look in the mirror? Why do you look in the mirror?
To see yourself.
To see yourself, Chris, yeah? Yeah? Henry? To see if you look good. And do you look good, Henry?
Maybe sometimes.
Very modest man. I think he's going to break a few hearts. I think that's the main reason, isn't it? We look in the mirror to see how we look, to see if we look good or maybe sometimes if we don't. I was putting on the stove yesterday. I was lighting the fire, and I went out and I got the sticks and I got some bits and pieces of coal, and I got the fire lit. And I must have, without noticing, after I had my hands through the coal, I wiped my eye. And I didn't know that, but later in the night, I just caught my reflection in the mirror, and I could see a big sklart of coal down the side of my face. I had mess all over my face. So what do you think I did? Henry? Pardon? Well, I looked in the mirror and I saw the mess. Then what do you think I did? Lois? I cleaned it. I mean, it would be a bit daft, wouldn't it, to see a big sklart of coal on your face and then just to carry on down to the village or whatever and not rub it off. We look in the mirror so that if there's something wrong, we can try and fix it. We can't always fix it. But with a bit of coal dust on your face, you can fix that. And the Bible is a book, and it's a lot like the mirror. We look into the Bible, and God, he shows us who he is. He tells us who he is, and we were thinking about that this morning, about how he's so full of love of us. He shows grace to us, wants to give us peace, and he wants to give us joy, glad tidings. And God, as we read the Bible, he also shows us who we are. And sometimes that can be difficult. Quite often that can be difficult. Because when God shows us who we are, he doesn't just show us a little bit of coal on the side of our face, but he shows us our hearts. And in this passage that we're going to read just now in Malachi, God, he gets the priests, the ministers in that time, and he speaks to them. And he shows them the reflection. And it's not a good picture. And God only does this to them, and he only does this to us because he loves us. And when we see sin in our hearts, what do we do? We can't wash sin off with soap, so what do we do? Tell me. If we have sin in our hearts, and we all do, what do we do? How do we clean them? Henry? We pray. And what do we say? Please forgive my sins. Yeah. Jesus' blood can wash away our sin. And so God, he only shows us our reflection so that when we see the sin in our hearts, we can ask him for his help, for his forgiveness. So let's read this difficult message for the ministers. I've struggled with this message through this week. So let me read this passage out for us all. God, speaking through Malachi, chapter 2, verse 1, says, "And now this admonition is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honour my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them, because you have not set your heart to honour me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread in your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and many turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law." Amen, and may God help us to understand these words. We're going to sing again now to God's praise. Hymn number 180, Child in the Manger. Let's turn back now to the passage that we read. We read from Malachi, chapter 2. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. And chapter 2, we're looking at the first 9 verses this evening. And we'll pray as we go there. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a light to our path, a lamp to our way. We thank you that it's like a mirror, and we look into it, and we see ourselves. And we pray that as we come under your word this evening, that you would give us insight, that you would give us understanding, that you would give us hearts that are soft, ears that are open, eyes that are sharply focused on Christ. We thank you that every page in Scripture, every verse in the Bible ultimately points us to Jesus. And so we pray that for every Luke we take itself, as we're called to in this passage, we would take 10 looks at Jesus. So hear our prayers and help us, Lord, we ask in this evening. We pray on for those who meet as we do in different denominations, some in buildings this evening, some who are online. We pray for those who are in the building here and those who are at home watching at this time. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would speak through us, that we would hear the message of the gospel. We think of those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ and in places far from here where there's no freedom to worship, where worship is driven underground, where the darkness is thick, and yet where the light of Christ shines so brightly. And we remember them. We may never have met them. We may never meet them in time. But we thank you that we have a family that spreads across every country in this world. And we ask, Lord, that as your church meets, openly and secretly, that you would bless and that your name would be honoured, that Christ would be lifted up, that many would be drawn to him. We pray, Lord, for the young folks who will meet on Zoom after this for the Big YF, and we ask that as they gather, that they too would hear your word, and that as a testimony is shared, Lord, that the hope of Christ would come through that message, and many of these young folks would look to Jesus. So hear our prayers and help us, Lord, we pray, for we are unable to do anything apart from you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Robert Murray McShane is a name that is probably familiar, or at least it's been heard by most of us. He was a minister in Dundee almost 200 years ago, I think. And he was well known as a preacher. He wrote many books. Many of you own some of these books. They're still published. They're still read today. He's a minister who was used widely by God to reach many people. He died at age 29. But his ministry was remarkable. And likely his ministry was so effective, not because of his gifts to preach and teach, but because he understood the need that he had to walk close with God. He was asked once about what his congregation needed from him, what he thought his congregation needed from him. And he answered, and I'll quote him here, he says, "The greatest need of my people is my personal holiness." Now back to Malachi chapter 2. And we see a gathering of priests, of ministers. And they were spoken to through this book. And the reality is they were not like Murray McShane. They were not pursuing holiness. That was God's main problem with them. And much of the problem of the people in that place at that time, and we looked at that last Sunday and on Wednesday night also, the people were lukewarm. People were not filled with zeal for God. They were lukewarm in their hearts. But much of the lukewarmness of the people in that day at that time was caused by the lukewarmness of the spiritual leaders. The lack of godliness that was evident in the people was very much affected by the lack of godliness that was evident in the lives of those whom God had called to lead. And so in Malachi chapter 2, the Lord sets his target on these spiritual leaders, and he challenges them about their life and about their ministry. And let me say, just an application as we begin, it's a serious thing to be to be in Christian leadership and in ministry. I hope you pray for the elders and the deacons here and wherever we might listen from. It's a serious thing to teach God's word, whether from a pulpit or in a Sunday school class or in the SU group that meets tomorrow in the school, or a ladies' fellowship. You know, whatever it is that we are called and given opportunity to open God's word, it's a serious calling. It's a serious opportunity, and it's something that we should never take lightly. Warren Wiersbe says, whether as a pastor or a missionary or a teacher, choir member, we would say presenter, or an usher, a deacon, somebody who welcomes at the door, a servant of God, being a servant of God, is a serious thing and deserves the very best that we can give. Maybe that's why James says in chapter 3 and at verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Malachi's message is a serious message. It's a hard message, especially for me as I study this throughout the course of the week. But it's a message that's written in love. Yes, these are words of very striking discipline. But it's better to be disciplined in love than it is to have no discipline and career headlong into judgment. I remember when I was about 8 or 9. Some of you are probably around about 8 or 9 years old. I remember when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and my dad sat me down, I can still picture it, in the bedroom upstairs in Kennedy Terrace, and he spoke some serious words of discipline to me. What had happened was there was some money lying on the stairs. It's just about 12 pence or 13 pence or something like that. And I had about 5 pence, I think, and I was going to go to Donnie's shop to buy some sweeties. But 5 pence was, it would buy you a Highland toffee in these days, but not too much. But I wanted a Mars bar. Didn't have enough money for a Mars bar. So I had my 5 pence that I'd been given. And then I spotted this 12 or 13 pence just lying at the bottom of the stairs. So no one was looking. Took it. Put it in my pocket. And then I went to my dad. Just as I was on my way out the door, I had 17 pence. And that still wasn't enough to buy a Mars bar or whatever it was I wanted to buy. So I said, can I get a wee bit more money for the shop? And my dad said, he says, I'll tell you what, there's a wee bit of money lying on the stairs. Pick that up and you can take that with you. And I was so daft or honest. I said, I probably went bright red. And I went, I actually took that. You took it. Who told you you could have it? No one told me I could have it. So you stole it. Well, I didn't get to Donnie's shop. I didn't even get Highland toffee. But I remember getting some serious words of discipline. I remember him sitting me down on the end of the bed and telling me about what happened to people who go through life stealing things. I didn't much enjoy the talking to, but I understood it was spoken in love. And what God says here to the priests, you know, and to us this evening, it's not the easiest sermon to listen to, but it's spoken in love. There's 4 points, hopefully, and the first point is much longer than the rest, so don't get too alarmed. The first point is, I've written down failed ministry, so that's what Ruthie will have on the screen. I think probably a better description would be failing ministry. Failed is a bit too final. But the first point is failing ministry. Now, ministers are messengers, and that comes through clearly throughout Scripture and in this book of Malachi. Ministers are messengers, and that message that comes from God must be spoken out clearly, and it must be lived out truly, or there's going to be disaster. I was in the air last week, flying to Edinburgh, and I know that at any one time, there can be up to 20,000 planes in the sky. So all over, you get these apps on the phone, and you hear something flying overhead, you can look up the app, and it'll show you what plane it is and where it's flying. And then if you zoom out, you can see all these thousands and thousands of planes that are all over the sky like flies in the air. And if we've been in a plane, we know that all the pilots, they have their headsets on. And they're sending messages, they're speaking to the traffic control or the air control, and they're getting messages about what's in the sky, about the weather that's up ahead, about landing times and landing places. And if these messages are not clearly given and received, there will be disaster in the sky. And what Malachi describes here in these opening chapters is spiritual disaster. He's not painting the picture of a place that is bright and rosy and in a state of revival and spiritual health. He speaks about a people who are in the midst of spiritual disaster, and all that disaster that's dealt with in chapter 1 can be traced back to the priests, to God's messengers, verse 7. And so the Lord admonishes them. He speaks sternly to them through this book of Malachi. So look at verses 1 and verse 2 and verse 3 actually. And now, that's the connection with the previous chapter. There's that link through these two words. And now, says God through Malachi, this admonition is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honour my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send, the word literally is, I will hurl a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them because you have not set your heart to honour me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread on your faces the awful. If you have the King James Version, you've got the more straightforward translation of that, and it's dung. I will spread the dung from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. So God makes very clear through these verses that his priests were failing in ministry. The word of God was not going forth clearly as it should be. They were not setting their hearts to honour the name of God. And because of the lukewarmness in their own hearts, and because of the famine of the word of God in that place, the people of God were suffering, and the people of God had slipped into a lukewarm state. And it's worth noting that spiritual decay can almost always be traced back to a failure to be in God's word. You know, when I've sat down with people over the years who have drifted, and when I've drifted personally, it always involves a neglect of God's word. And that was the case in Malachi's day. And the Lord says through Malachi to the priests, your failure in ministry comes with consequences. And he spells out the consequences for them. And he explains it goes beyond them to the people who were following them. So the Lord is very clear about their failing ministry. But we know from the breadth of Scripture that with God, failure is never final. Think about Peter the Apostle. Think about David the Psalmist, how spectacularly and how publicly they failed, but it wasn't a final failure. Because whenever there is repentance, whenever we listen to God as he speaks to us about our failures, there is hope. And that one little word in verse 2, it is packed with hope and promise, and that's the word if. Because God says to the priests in verse 2, if you do not listen. Which is another way of saying, will you not listen? You see the disaster. You see the spiritual carnage in the place that comes back to you. Will you not listen to me just now? And change course. When I was preparing this, the words of an Oasis song of all things came back to my mind. And I won't sing it for you. The girls would love me to, I'm sure. But the line was from a song, and it came back to me, and it says, maybe I will never be all the things I want to be. Now is not the time to cry. Now is the time to find out why. And that's what God was saying through Malachi. Don't carry on down this road that is causing such failure. Don't cry and protest and kick back against my word as I say difficult things to you just now. Listen to me. Now is the time, says God, to find out why you are failing. Now is the time to repent. O priests, and change your course. So where were they failing? What did failure look like? Well, we're told in verses 8 and 9, really, where they failed. And I'll just give you the very bare outline of it. There's four things, four areas that they were failing in. Firstly, they strayed from God. Verse 8, but you have turned from the way. They strayed. The second thing is, because they strayed, they were now a stumbling block to the people that they were called to lead. By your teaching, verse 8, you have caused many to stumble. And the third thing is they spoiled the law of God. They were distorting the clear word of God, the law of God. Verse 8 again, you have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. Now the covenant of Levi simply refers to the law of God. The priests and the Levites were told through Moses how to minister in a way that honoured God, but these priests had decided they weren't going to listen. They were going to violate, they were going to reject, they were going to spoil and distort the law and minister in a way that pleased them, not God. So they were spoiling the law of God. They were straying from God. They were a stumbling block to the people that they called to lead. And the final thing there in terms of their failing ministry is they showed favoritism. Verse 9 talks about they show partiality in matters of the law. And so these priests, they were taking God's word and they were manipulating it to allow some people who were their favourites to get away with whatever they wanted to get away with. And they were taking God's word and using it as a club to beat other people that they didn't love. And all this is brought to them through Malachi, it amounts to a comprehensive failure in ministry. So God holds up the mirror to the priests, and he shows them the stark reality of where they were failing. Sometimes it's good to know that we're failing. Sometimes it's necessary to know that we have failed. I think back to school when I was going there, and at Christmas time, or just after Christmas, we used to have prelims. And in the prelims, you were tested on the subject. And I can remember a good number of prelims that I spectacularly failed. And it wasn't pleasant to fail a prelim. But it was necessary because if you didn't fail the subject, invariably you wouldn't study to actually pass the exam. And as we read here about failing ministry, remember the opening line of the book of Malachi. Remember the first thing God says to his people. Remember why he's saying this. He says to them in chapter 1, verse 2, I have loved you. He's showing them their sin. He's showing them their failure. As he shows me my sin and us our sin and our failures because he loves us. He doesn't want us to drift from him. And if we have drifted from him, he doesn't want us to stay adrift from him. He wants us to come close and stay close and know his blessing. So that's the first point, failing ministry. The second point is future ministry. And we see that in verse 4. There's this verse that speaks about what's up ahead. And God, through Malachi, says, and you will know that I have sent to you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. So verse 4 brings such hope and such promise for the future. You know, we watch the weather forecast and we go on to XC Weather and we check what's going on at present. And we might see a big low pressure just overwhelming the Western Isles and explains the rain and the wind and the bad weather. But we hope to see a high pressure creeping in so that we'll enjoy some better weather. And really that's what's promised here. In Malachi's time of writing, it was dark and it was dreary. It was stormy in terms of the spiritual climate. But this was not the end. You could say it was winter. The girls were watching the film Narnia, Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Remember that place where it's always winter, never Christmas. Such a bleak state. It's a picture of what sin does. And in the day of Malachi, it was winter spiritually. But it wasn't always going to be that way. This admonition was not God's way of saying, I'm finished with you people. God says through Malachi, yes, there is disaster at present, but I'm not finished with you. I'm telling you this because I want the covenant, and I promise the covenant will continue. So the reality was some priests who had lost their way may very well be lost along the way if they won't listen to God. But God's plan for his people, God's plan of salvation would not be thwarted. And what God promised to his people in the Old Testament book of Malachi is echoed through Jesus. As he says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God's work would go on, is what's been said. And God's work has gone on. And God's work will go on. The question is, though, will we be part of it? That's what was coming to these priests. Are you going to be part of this? And that's what comes to us tonight. The Church of Christ will never die. God's work will never be thwarted. But are you and I going to be part of the Church of Christ? Are we, through the new covenant that's sealed by the blood of Christ, are we going to be one of God's people? God's covenant will never fail. His promises are never untrustworthy. They're always firm and secure. But if we are to benefit from them, we have to repent of sin. As God shows it to us in our own hearts. And we have to believe in Jesus. You know, it wasn't enough to live in the land of Israel in Malachi's day. That was the right postcode, but it wasn't enough for these people to be acceptable to God. It wasn't enough for some of these guys to be priests in that right profession. They were called to trust God, to repent of sin, to obey Him, to find happiness in the Christ that's to come, to give themselves to honouring the name of Jesus. So failings in ministry is where it begins. Future ministry. There's hope in that promise of future ministry. The third thing is faithful ministry. Malachi, he not only writes to diagnose and to treat the spiritual sickness that was prevalent in that place. He gives us the marks of these spiritual sickness and lukewarmness that we've looked at over these last couple of weeks. But he also gives us some marks of what healthy ministry looks like. He gives us a portrait here of what faithful ministry looks like. And there's three marks of faithful ministers, faithful ministry. And I'll give them to you very briefly. The first thing is faithful ministers listen to God's word. And that takes us again back to verse 2. We can underline that word in verse 2, listen, because it's a word that's packed with spiritual hope and spiritual health and vitality. Faithful ministers, in whatever ministry God has called us to, we listen to God's word. We don't just speak out God's word with our lips. We take God's word in before we speak anything out. We listen with our ears. We listen with our hearts. And we can't speak until we listen. You know, God's word has to come to us before it can ever come through us. I have to preach first to my own heart before I can ever speak to anyone else. So faithful ministers listen to God's word. That applies to the pulpit, again, remember. It applies to the ladies' group. It applies to the SU group. It applies to YF. It applies to Sunday school. It applies to the teaching of children in the home. Faithful ministers, whatever we are called to be, we listen to God's word. And the second thing is faithful ministers live out God's word. And that comes through in verse 5. God speaks, and he speaks about this covenant with Levi. He says, my covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace. And I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. You know, and here we have a picture of a faithful minister. It's a great contrast with what has been described in the previous verses. Here we have a picture of a life that is not lukewarm. Here we have a picture of a servant, a minister of God, who's not bored with God. Who's not speaking about ministry and saying, oh, what a burden this is. This is a person who is captivated with the life and the peace and the glory and the awe of God. This is a picture of an authentic, holy minister of God. One who not only hears, but who lives out the truth of God's word. One of McShane's prayers was, Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. He wanted to live out God's word in every day and every detail. Warren Wiersbe says, a false minister is an awful weapon in the hands of Satan. But almost 200 years before he wrote that, again McShane said, a holy minister is an awful weapon in the hands of God, an awesome, awful weapon in the hands of God. So if we are to be faithful in ministry of any kind in any place, we're called to be holy in life. We're called to be those who listen to God's word, who live out God's word, and finally, who preach God's word. That's the order. Listen, take in, then live out in every detail and every day, and then speak out. Verse 6 and 7, true instruction was in his mouth, nothing false was found in his lips. He walked with me, that means he lived with me, in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. Notice the order. Listen, live, then preach. And what is preached by the faithful minister is truth. And who is the truth? Well, Jesus is the truth. We preach Christ, not self, not politics, not our hobby horses, not denominational issues, not local gossip, not international gossip. We preach Christ. The New Testament version of this is 2 Timothy 4, where the Apostle Paul speaks to young Timothy and says, preach the word. Even though itching ears might not want to hear it. Even though you might have to endure hardship for it, a faithful minister has a calling to preach the word of God. Faithful ministry is the third point. And the final point is the fulfillment of ministry. Because remember, all of this is taking us to Christ. This is a hard word. This was hard for the priests to hear. This is hard for us to hear. This is a word that exposed to the priests and it exposes to us our manifold sinful imperfections. This is a word where we kind of are brought to the end of ourselves. And any trace of pride is stamped on. But it's a word that is designed when we come to the end of ourselves to look for and to look to Jesus. We see failing priests on multiple levels, and that gives us that appetite to look for the one who would be the great high priest. And that was Jesus. Hebrews 4 says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's the answer. This is where we're designed to get to. The book of Malachi is anticipating Jesus. The book of Malachi is preparing us for the first Christmas. It's preparing us for the coming of Christ. The people in Malachi's day, they're looking forward. They're straining their eyes to see this one who was promised, who would make it possible for sinners like them to receive mercy and find grace And we today, we open the same message. But we don't look forward, we look back to the one who did come to this world on that first Christmas to secure for us that mercy and grace. We see Jesus, the fulfillment of everything that we see in ministry is found in Christ. Jesus is the great high priest who made it possible for us to come to God. Jesus is the true messenger. He is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the minister, the only minister, who never failed and who was always faithful, even to death on a cross. So let us be encouraged this evening to look to and to trust in Him. In fact, I'll finish with a McShane quote. For every look you take at self, and we've been called to look at self, for every look you take at self, take 10 looks at Jesus. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that you have given to us through this messenger, this Malachi. And we thank you that you love us enough to speak truth to us, even when sometimes it stings. And we thank you that you love us enough to show us that we cannot trust ourselves. We fail on so many levels. But we thank you that as we see our failures, as we look at self, we are driven to lift our eyes and fix our eyes on Jesus. So we take our sin away, we pray, Lord, as we see it through the challenge of this word, and give us faith, we pray, that each of us may find forgiveness and strength in Christ. We pray these things in His name and for His sake. Amen. We'll sing to finish the words of hymn 165, O come, Emmanuel.
Captivity.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.